turn is a reminder. Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, an intimate local Christian church with a worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Thanks for listening to this Bible lesson. As you listen to this message, you can make one of the most important decisions of your life, the decision concerning whether or not to have a relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's Bible lesson, the resurrection, an incredible gift to you from the indescribable gift. Well, this is our Resurrection Day celebration. We're here to express our gratitude to the entire Godhead for a blessing that is beyond words. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says this, "Thanks be to God the Father for his indescribable gift to all mankind." And we know who the indescribable gift is. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the unique being of the universe. He is 100% God and 100% man in one person. We call him Lord because he is God. He's God the Son. We call him Jesus because he came down from heaven to take on human form to solve a problem that you have. We call him the Christ because he is the promised Messiah, the Jewish Messiah and the Gentile Messiah. He is the Son of God, and he is the Son of Man. God the Father gave Jesus Christ as an incredible gift to his enemies, his sinful and disobedient creatures. The gift of Jesus is an expression of God the Father's goodness. Jesus is given to us with no strings attached. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were sinners, while we were unrighteous, ungodly unbelievers, God the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die a sacrificial death for us." If we evaluate that on human terms, we know that there's no way that you would have that kind of response to your enemies. There'd be no way that you would have that kind of response to people that you thought were against you. So God the Father is amazing, and God the Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is even more amazing for coming down and dying on a cross for us. Well, this song says best why we are here today. It's a song called Celebrate Jesus. That's why we're here.
Yes, Lord, we celebrate your goodness tonight. Come on.
Al, you've got a future as a songwriter. That was only 20 words. I think you could scrape together 20 words and stretch it out over 4 minutes, couldn't you? By the way, when you're praying, pray for June Murphy. She's under the weather, coughing like a dog. I don't know what it is. There's a really bad thing going around with a lot of coughing. So prayers for everybody in Barah Ministries. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for your glorious riches, especially the wealth the whole world has available from a relationship with your Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him to the earth in human form and for letting him humiliate himself to save us. And thank you most for sending him to rescue us while we were ungodly, unrighteous, unbelieving sinners. Help us to take advantage of his death, which made all things new. Help us to celebrate Jesus today as our Redeemer, who purchased us from slavery to sin. Help us honor the one who reconciled us to you, Father, restoring the possibility of relationship with you. And keep us focused on the life portion of this celebration and not on his death. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Say it with me.
Amen.
Amen. Today's Bible lesson, the resurrection. An incredible gift to you from the indescribable gift. Well, today we celebrate the most important person in divine history, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are many ways to describe him. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3 describes him this way, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the radiance of God the Father's glory, and he is the exact representation of God the Father's nature. He has the exact same essence as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. That's a thing that Christians can easily forget, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we see all these goofy things happening in the world, and we think politicians control history. They do not. Jesus Christ controls history, and he will not relinquish his control of history. Now, when the Lord had made purification of sins by dying on a cross, 3 hours, accepting all of the sins of all mankind, accepting the wrath of his Father, so much wrath that it made him say, my God, why have you forsaken me? When the Lord had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty, God the Father on high. And when we meet him, we will see him sitting at the right hand of his Father. And that's going to be a very glorious day. Another description of him in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in the Lord Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Take that, all of you people who think that he's just a good rabbi, he's just a good teacher, he was a man, he was a prophet just like many other prophets. No, he wasn't. This day proves it, because the resurrection from the dead proved that he is deity. He was not just like everybody else. Jesus Christ is the still point of a turning world. He is immutable, so he never changes. And what does that mean? It means you can always count on him to do the exact same thing. And what can you count on him doing? Exactly what he promises. He is your creator. You would not be here without him. He has always had you personally in mind by name, billions and billions of years ago. You will meet him face to face in the future at your own resurrection from the dead. He holds your eternal future in the palm of his righteous right hand, and it is a pleasure to celebrate him every day, but especially today. This is one of 3 days the whole world turns attention to him. On Christmas, on Mother's Day, and on Easter, people flock to churches like sheep to hear the Lord's story, and it's the same story over and over again every year. The story is really simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That takes about 6 seconds. As we hear about his life today, it's a good time to reflect on our own lives. I don't believe you heard me. So I'm going to say that again. As we hear his story today, it's a good time to reflect on our own lives. Here's a question. What's important in your life? Might be worth you sitting down and just writing that out. What's important in your life? If you made a list of what's important to you, would your spiritual life make the list? Maybe, maybe not. The distractions of life tend to be louder than the focus of life. And believe me, at the center of the focus of this life is the spiritual life. Now, most of us live rudderless lives. And we know what a rudder is. It's the thing that steers a boat. It's the thing that steers your life, a rudder. Most of us live rudderless lives. We're blown about by every wind. We're carried about by every wave. We wake up and wander through each day doing things that we have programmed ourselves to do rather than doing the things we choose to do. Well, I want to get married. And I want to have a baby. And I want to go to college. Okay. But is that really what you want to do? Or is that something somebody told you you have to do? Have you ever sat down and really thought about what you want out of this gift of life that God has given you? And when you get to the hospice and you're about 48 hours from buying it, as they pump morphine into you to take you completely out of consciousness, will you have any regrets? Or will you be thinking, you know what, I have no regrets. I'm about to meet my Savior, and I can't wait to get out of here, actually, because I did everything I wanted to do while I was here. Is that the description of your life? Is that what you're setting up for yourself? For most people, there seems to be little self-determination in navigating our lives toward the desires of our hearts. Then one day, life is over. Was your life meaningful? When you close your eyes in this life, the spiritual life comes screaming to the forefront. Do you have one? Today, as we learn about the most meaningful life ever, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can choose to have a spiritual life. Does your life have purpose? Does your life have direction? Do you like the way your life is going? Or did you just do things and end up with a consequence? If your life's not going the way you want it to, how committed are you to making the changes that are necessary to move your life in the direction of your deepest desires? Because God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Do you even want them? Really, that's the question. The Lord Jesus Christ invites you to contemplate these questions as you learn about how he saved your life. The Bible begins with a bold four-word proclamation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Four words that most people may overlook. Here it is. Powerful punch in the face. In the beginning, God. Take that, atheists. The atheists say there is no God. Well, God says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, not a beginning, God. God exists. There is one God who expresses himself as three separate and distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you listen to religious people, oh, well, we all worship the same God. I worship Allah. That's the same as your God. No, he isn't. He doesn't exist. There is no Allah. Muhammad was not on par with Jesus Christ. The Pope is not on par with Jesus Christ, even though he's called the Vicar of Christ. Joseph Smith, who founded the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints, what a joke, is not on par with Jesus Christ. No. The Godhead is one, and each of the three persons in the Godhead operates the exact same way. They invented the term one page. The three members of the Godhead proclaimed their existence in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God the Father said, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let's make man as spiritual beings. And let them, male and female, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth, like the rat that I found, gigantic rat that I found in my garage last week." Amen? That was a creeping thing, or a creepy thing. Well, from the beginning, the three members of the Godhead had you personally in mind by name, knew exactly what family that they would bring you into, knew exactly the perfect parents to give you, knew exactly how your life was going to unfold, knew exactly all the things that you were going to do wrong, and wasn't bothered by any of them. Amen?
Amen.
So they know you. They love you unconditionally with no conditions. That's the hardest thing for human beings to grasp, that the most sovereign beings in the universe do not require anything of you. They are not bothered by anything you do. They are not disappointed with you or any of the other things, any of the other lies that Satan, the enemy of God, wants you to think. And they want you to be on their team. But they want you to be on their team voluntarily. They are gentlemen and they are not into coercion. Why do they want you to be on your team? Because because the three members of the Godhead built into each of us an intense desire to get to know them. They make themselves known from the inside of us, most importantly, and from the outside of us, so that we have a chance to get to know them if we are interested. And see, let's be frank. Most people aren't interested. You know, we show up on 3 days a year, and that's great. I mean, it's better than no days a year. But it's like eating 3 days a year. You can't eat 3 days a year and nourish yourself. You need this nourishment, spiritual nourishment, every day, because you're a spiritual being. But what do we have? We have spiritual anorexia. We aren't feeding ourselves. We don't consider it even important. And when we don't consider ourselves important. Amen?
Amen.
So I chuckle as I watch one of my favorite game shows every day. Every day. Sometimes I watch it twice because the models are beautiful. Amen? But it's The Price is Right, and I've been watching that since 1972, forever. And every time a person is called to come on down, each of them says the same thing. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It doesn't matter if they're believers in Christ or atheists. They say the same thing. Oh, my God. It's the acknowledgement that there is a God. God loves each one of us unconditionally, even when there's nothing lovable about us. The book of Genesis outlines a fateful moment in the Garden of Eden for the first creatures on earth, Adam and Eve. The Lord gave instructions to Adam, and then he gave Adam a gift. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. He gave him work. Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. He gave him resources. Genesis 2:17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. The Hebrew says, dying, die. What does it mean? That dying spiritually when you eat from it, then you will have to die physically. That was an invitation and a warning. Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I don't agree, amen? No, just kidding. It's not good for man to be alone, so I will make him a helper suitable for him. Well, Adam was no longer alone. Now there was the gift of Eve, then the problem. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, Satan, working his deceitful magic, deceived Eve. Genesis 3, 6, and when the woman saw that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, as Satan had told her, she took from its fruit and ate, and also she gave the fruit to her husband who was with her, and he ate. As the federal head of the human race, Adam committed the first sin. He ate what he was told not to eat. His sin was passed to all of us and created a barrier between God and man. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and spiritual death entered the world through his sin, so spiritual death spread to all men, because all men were considered by God to have sinned when Adam sinned. It would have been completely fair for God to do nothing about this problem. He made the rules clear, Adam violated them, and there are consequences for breaking the rules. But the members of the Godhead value us too much to let us die for the sin of one man. So they decided to do something about our problem. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 reveal God's mission concerning you. It says, God the Father loved the world unconditionally, and he loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be crucified on a cross so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but has eternal life. John 3:17. For God the Father did not send God the Son, the Lord, into the world to judge the world, but God the Father sent the Son into the world that the world might be saved through him. And what we celebrate today is what God did for all of us to make it possible to have eternal life, a life face to face with God when we close our eyes in this life. What is there to learn about Jesus on this resurrection day? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 say this, I, Paul the apostle, deliver to all of you as of primary importance, the gospel message I also received from God, that it was Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Old Testament scriptures. It was predicted, 1 Corinthians 15:4, and that he was buried and that he was raised from the dead in resurrection on the third day according to the Old Testament scriptures. On Christmas, we learn that Jesus Christ was born. As God, he came down from heaven to take on human form. Can you imagine that? Heaven is described as a place exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ask or think. It's so amazing that the Apostle Paul, who was taken there, came back and said he couldn't even put into words what it was like to be in heaven. And he wasn't allowed to either. But the Lord, God the Son, left that amazing place to come to this sewer. I had a better word for it, a couple words for it than that. But came to this sewer to take on human form, which is humiliating for God. And for 33 years, He lived a sinless life so that he'd be qualified to pay for our sins. Jesus gets us. That's one of the latest TV commercials and billboards. Jesus gets us. Why? Because he does. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this: "We believers in Christ do not have a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." Why? Because he became a human being. He was a boy. He was a teenager. He was a man. And he was persecuted more than anybody ever has been. We believers in Christ don't have a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ who can't sympathize with our weaknesses. We have a high priest who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. Imagine being around Mary Magdalene, who is one of the most gorgeous women who has ever lived on the earth. Imagine being around her all the time, with her loving you and drying your feet with her hair and doing all kind of wonderful things and looking at you with that look that women look at you with when they love you. Imagine that. Imagine the temptation of that. Alone. But there was more. Well, at the end of his life on earth, he was crucified on a cross. Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24 say this: "This man, Jesus Christ, was delivered over by his Father by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God the Father. And he was nailed to a cross at the hands of godless men." Godless men are unbelievers. "And he was put to death." Acts 2:24. "But God the Father raised him up again, resurrecting Jesus from the dead and putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Jesus to be held in death's power." Sin is a crime that requires payment. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 say, "All creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's right. There is no one who is righteous, not even one. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life to pay for our sins. If he hadn't, we would have had to make the payment for ourselves. And if Jesus, it was Jesus' pleasure to make it possible for us to be saved by becoming a sin payment substitute. You don't ever want to have to pay for your own sins. Believe me, it is a terrible thing to experience. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this: "Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame." Jesus considered it a joy to die for you. Now, in the United States, Secret Service agents are expected to lay down their lives to protect the president and other executives in life-threatening situations. This is a core principle of their duty, and they are prepared to sacrifice their own lives to ensure the safety of those they are assigned to protect. Those are the only people who are crazy enough to do what Jesus Christ did. Well, I guess the whole military is crazy enough to do that as well, though. Jesus considered it joyful to endure the most horrific death in the history of mankind so that you could have the chance to become spiritually alive. And we celebrate his death on a cross on what we call Good Friday. His death on a cross made it possible for you to move from being a sinner, an unbeliever, to being a saint, a believer in Christ. Jesus was buried, and he stayed in the tomb for 3 full days. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, who was a Pharisee undercover as a Christian. He was one of those Jewish Christians that we talked about in the announcements today. But he couldn't let anybody know that he was a Christian, or he would have been killed. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says this: "For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a sea monster, so will the Son of Man," Jesus, "be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So we know that Good Friday is not 3 days from Resurrection Sunday. So it was a Wednesday that he was crucified, and then 3 full days in the grave, and then Resurrection Sunday. This beautiful day. Today, on Resurrection Day, what the rest of the world calls Easter. And by the way, Easter was a fertility goddess. It was an orgy celebration, and now it's rabbits and eggs. But the rest of the world calls this day Easter, but we as Christians celebrate the thing that separated Jesus from all the others, the empty tomb. On the third day after his death, he was resurrected from the dead. What is resurrection? Resurrection is living again in a body after our current body has died. The body that you're walking around in right now will lay down and grow cold one day. But if you are a believer in Christ, you will have a resurrection body. A body that is similar to the resurrection body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So resurrection is living again in a body after our current body has died. It means coming back from the dead in a real transformed body. At the spoken word of Jesus Christ, you will come back together in a transformed body. Bodily existence after physical death. John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18 say this. Mary of Magdala, known as Mary Magdalene, was standing outside the tomb weeping on the Sunday morning of Resurrection Day. And as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. John 20, 12. And she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet of where the body of Jesus had been lying. John 20, 13. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." John chapter 20, verse 14. And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. John 20, 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried Jesus away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." John 20:16. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means master and teacher. John 20:17. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me." She was hugging his feet. "For I have not yet ascended to God the Father." In other words, I'm going to be here for a while. "But go to my brethren, the apostles and the other disciples, and say to them, I will ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." John 20, 18. And Mary of Magdala came running, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them the things that he had said to her. Three of the most beautiful words in the English language. He is risen, just like he said. That's why we celebrate Jesus. If not for his resurrection from the dead, Jesus would be just another dead martyr. You know, a lot of the religions celebrate Good Friday, but blow off the resurrection. If all that his life was about was dying on the cross, he's just another dead martyr. But it's his resurrection that separated him from everyone else. Jesus gave us the opportunity for a spiritual life with his death because we're born physically alive and spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead when we're born. We don't have a spiritual life, but God gave us the opportunity for that. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who he raised from the dead, "I, the Lord, Jesus, the Christ, am the resurrection. I am the one who's rising from the dead, and I am the resurrection life. I am the resurrection and the life, the one who provides life after death, eternal life, to whosoever wants it. And he who believes in me will live, even if he dies." Well, here is Luke's account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 9. On the first day of the week, a Sunday, the day after the Jewish Sabbath, which was Saturday, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. At early dawn, the women who had come with Joseph of Arimathea out of Galilee came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared for a smelly corpse. John 24:2. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now that should have been the first hint, because that stone was something that it would take 100 people to move. Luke 24, there the women are at the tomb. Luke 24, chapter 3, but when they entered the tomb, the women did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there was an empty grave. He was not there. He is risen. Luke 24, 4, and while they kept on being perplexed about this, a continuous state of perplexism. While they kept on being perplexed about this, behold, two angelic beings suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing that gleamed like lightning. Luke 24, 5, and as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Job talked about that. He said, I know my Redeemer lives, and in the second coming, he will place his feet on the earth. Luke 24, 6. Jesus is not here, but he has risen from the dead in resurrection. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee? Luke 24, 7, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, unbelievers, and be crucified, and on the third day rise again from the dead. He predicted exactly what happened, and then it exactly happened that way. Luke 24, 8, and the women remembered the Lord's words. And the women returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 apostles, minus Judas Iscariot, the betrayer who killed himself, and to all the rest of the Lord's disciples. The resurrection is an incredible gift to you from the indescribable gift, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the big question you have to ask yourself is, do you have a relationship with him? Do you? Because he's not a religion. He's a person. Do you have a relationship with him? Very important question to answer. With certainty, not with confusion. Not, I hope so. Well, when we return from the break, we'll take the offering and then we'll reflect on the life we are offered by the Lord's life, death, burial, resurrection from the dead, and ascension into the heavenlies. Take a 5-minute break.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. Colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Every creature unique in the song that it sings. All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are God, all powerful. uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, the resurrection, an incredible gift to you from the indescribable gift. Well, King David asks an interesting question in Psalm 116, verse 12. He says, "What shall I give to the Lord in repayment for all his goodness toward me?" What shall I give to the Lord in repayment for all his goodness toward me? Well, that's a really interesting question. The Lord wants us to give the things that he gifts to us, our time, our talent, and our treasure, for the benefit of others, just as he did. The offering is the treasure part. It's your chance to redirect the funds that God has given you to help others. Give with an abundance mentality. Whatever you give, the Lord will multiply it to others, but he will also multiply it back to you. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with one of his always inspiring offering messages.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Denny Goodall, and I'm blessed to be a deacon for Brown Ministries. I'm blessed because through the study of the Word of God, I've been able to discern the lies in the world. I've been able to find out who are not in my corner. I've been able to see the wolves of my life. We see in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." You know, Jesus warned us about wolves in sheep clothing. And let's be honest, on Resurrection Day, Sunday, some folks are so dressed up, so sharp, you think they walked out of the tomb. Fresh suit, new shoes, and cologne strong enough to raise Lazarus. But not everything that looks holy is holy. Jesus said, "Watch out for those who look like part of the flock, but they only look like the flock." Today, I want to share three quick points that inspire unity and generosity. Wolves wear wool, but they don't contribute to the flock. False prophets may look the part, but they don't live the part. In church, that can mean showing up sharp, but not lifting a hand or just sharing a dollar. Real sheep give, they serve, and they support the mission. If we want to live resurrection powerfully, we have to give like we believe it. And sheep stick together. That's how we stay safe. Wolves don't attack crowds. They go after the stragglers. Unity protects us. When we give together, we grow together. Our offering funds the message of hope, helps others rise up, and proves we're one flock with one shepherd. Resurrection Day is a reminder the tomb is empty, but our hearts and our hands are full. Don't let the wolves get your budget. If we don't give, the wolves get a foothold. Division creeps in, needs go unmet, and the mission stalls. But when we give faithfully, we fuel resurrection life every day. Through ministry, outreach, and care, giving is how we say, "Not today, wolves." So today, let's give joyfully, faithfully, and in unity, resurrection style. The stone was rolled away, the grave couldn't hold him, and our generosity keeps the victory message rolling forward. And hey, if someone next to you is dressed like they're auditioning for a Bible movie, just make sure their wallet rolls with them too. So remember, your giving helps others discern truth from the lies and see the wolves in their life. So remember, just keep on giving, and Jesus got your back.
Amen.
Hit it, Denise. Thank you.
He came and knew. He came from Christmas to the cross. He's the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Just believe in the Lord.
Great song, Christmas to the Cross, by June Murphy. Today's Bible lesson, the resurrection, an incredible gift to you from the indescribable gift. Well, built into every one of us is an intense desire to know God. Do you remember David Koresh? His real name was Vernon Wayne, and he was an American cult leader who was the head of the Branch Davidians, which was a religious cult. Koresh claimed to be a prophet. He was masterful at attracting followers to his false message, and he pretended to be the Messiah, the one who could interpret the Bible. You've probably heard of him or seen the movie about him and what he did in Waco, Texas in the early 1990s. In reality, David Koresh was a sexual predator, a child abuser, and a statutory rapist. And eventually he was killed, but only after his false teaching led to the deaths of many of his followers. So intense was the desire of his followers to know God that they allowed themselves to be deceived by his teachings. They decided to believe that he was God, and it led to their destruction. God has an enemy, Satan, who is the ruler of this world, who loves to take advantage of this built-in desire to get to know God by sending false teachers with their false teachings to deceive us. So as you assess your life today, you may consider many things. What kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? What kind of spouse are you? Are you on your spouse's side? What kind of parent are you? Do you understand that kids are seagulls and they're going to live with you for 18 years, eat your food, and then as they fly out, leave a little care package on the top of your head? Do you get that? And moms, I'm talking to you too, by the way, because you don't get that. Moms. Thank God for moms, though. What kind of entrepreneur are you? What kind of friend are you? What kind of investor are you? There are many things to consider in this life. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ would want you to consider what kind of spiritual life you choose. Because one day, you will close your eyes in this life. I don't believe you had me, so I'm going to repeat that. One day you will close your eyes in this life. And soon after that day, you will experience your own resurrection from the dead. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will experience your resurrection at a divine event called the rapture of the church, also known as the exit resurrection. The Greek word for resurrection is anastasis. The Greek word for rapture is ex-anastasis, the resurrection from. This resurrection is detailed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It says, Paul says, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, you believers in Christ, about those who are asleep." He's talking about those who are physically dead. "So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." That's a reference to unbelievers. Unbelievers have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," first class condition if, and we do, if and it's true, "even so, God the Father will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in union with Jesus." 1 Thessalonians 4:15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain on earth until the coming of the Lord," coming at the rapture, coming in the clouds, "will not precede those who have fallen asleep in physical death." 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in union with Christ will rise first. They will rise out of the grave at the command of the Lord and go right up into the atmosphere." 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we believers in Christ who are alive and remain on the earth at that time will be caught up." That's what the word rapture is translated as, caught up. "We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord face to face." And that's when we, as believers in Christ, get our resurrection bodies. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." The next event in divine history is the rapture of the church, exanastasis, the exit resurrection of the church. And maybe we're alive for that, and maybe we aren't. It was supposed to happen one generation after Israel becomes a state, and Israel became a state, I think, in 1947, 8, sometime like that. And the generation is anywhere from 70 to 120 years. So it could happen at 1:59 today, and then we don't get to go to a party. Amen? Yeah, that's right. We'll go to a real party. So if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you are an unbeliever, your resurrection will not be as pleasant as the one just described. It will be a resurrection of condemnation rather than a resurrection of salvation. It's a resurrection for a judgment called the second death. The first death is spiritual death. The second death is death in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. "Then I, John," the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, "saw a great white throne, and I saw the Lord Jesus Christ who sat upon the throne, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them to live." The lake of fire is a graciousness of God, and it gives those who are fleeing from him a place to live, a place to live where they are with all people who are just like them, people who want nothing to do with God. That's what the lake of fire is. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, the great," which is the famous ones, "and the small," the not so famous ones, "standing before the great white throne. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." At the book of life, when you're born, your name is written in the book of life, and when you die an unbeliever, it's blotted out from the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. Notice that. It's according to their deeds, what they have done. And really, it's according to their deed, which is the rejection of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not according to their sins. Sins were paid for at the cross. They won't be brought up at either of the judgments. Revelation 20:13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. The lake of fire has not been created yet. When an unbeliever dies, they go to a place called Hades, and a compartment of Hades called torments. And it has similar characteristics to the lake of fire, but it is not the lake of fire. And one day that whole thing will be thrown into the lake of fire. There's torments where dead unbelievers go. There's Tartarus, where the angels who violated the conditions of being on earth and had sex with women in Genesis 6 and created a race of super creatures are. And then there's the abyss, where over 200 million angels are rehearsing for their being released to attack people on the earth in the tribulation, which is the next age in human history. That whole thing is going to be picked up and thrown into the lake of fire by God. Revelation 20:14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Spiritual death is the first death. The lake of fire is the second death. Revelation 20:15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, and many, many, many were not found in it, some you know, those people will be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, if you have any conception whatsoever about what the lake of fire is like, and you have friends or relatives or people that you value who don't know about Jesus Christ and don't have a relationship with him, if it's even confusing to you, get this book to them. Believe. 8-12 pages that tell you how in 60 seconds you can be a believer in Christ. Not hard. Free of charge. It's a big deal. You remember when we started the lesson, I was talking to you about reflecting on your life, and I was talking to you about reflecting on your spiritual life? That's what's important. And that may not be what you think is important. Maybe you think what's important is your car. Maybe you think what's important is the grocery shopping you have to do today. Maybe what you think is important is the movie you're going to later or the trip you're going on. Those are not the important things of this life. They are not. A relationship is the important thing of this life, a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is life after death. There is the resurrection to heaven for the righteous. Believers in Christ who die right with God because they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They pushed all their poker chips into the middle of the table and said, what I'm betting is that by believing in Jesus Christ, I can be saved. I'm betting that Jesus Christ is telling the truth. Then there's the resurrection to the lake of fire for the unrighteous unbelievers who die in their trespasses and sins. Those are the people who say, I don't need Jesus to pay for my sins. I'll handle it myself. Okay, well, you're going to be at the wrong end of the wrath of God, and I guarantee you that is not something that you would ever want to experience. But the funny thing about unbelievers is they know that there is life after the grave. And you've heard them say about dead relatives, either yours or theirs, well, he's in a better place. Or I know she's looking down on me. There's an assumption that everyone goes to heaven. Everyone does not go to heaven. Everyone who dies is not in a better place. There are some people who are in a horrible place when they close their eyes in this life. Don't let that be you. The soul once born never dies, but you get to choose where it spends eternity. What's your choice? I heard a pretty funny story this week about the dilemma of life. And here's the story. Denise actually sent this to me. It was a riot. Her grandmother told her grandson, There are only two things in life to worry about. If you're healthy or if you're sick. If you're healthy, you got nothing to worry about. If you're sick, there are only two things to worry about. If you're going to get better or if you're going to get worse. If you're going to get better, you got nothing to worry about. If you're going to get worse, there are only two things to worry about. If you're going to live or if you're going to die. If you're going to live, you got nothing to worry about. If you're going to die, there are only two things to worry about. If you're going to heaven or if you're going to hell. If you're going to heaven, you got nothing to worry about. But if you're going to hell, there are only two things to worry about. Original or extra crispy. Amen? Look, all of us long to be accepted by God. Well, good news is God accepts all of us. He doesn't hold our sins against us. He forgives us for every sin we commit, past, present, and future. They are imputed to him. That's an accounting term. It means they're accredited to his account. And it took 3 hours on the cross, and they were adjudicated, handled once and for all time. Sin is not an impediment in our lives. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says this, "The Lord Jesus Christ was delivered over by God the Father because of our transgressions, and he was raised from the dead in resurrection because of our need for justification." What is justification? It is the fact that you are not guilty in the eyes of God. Resurrection is a celebration of our justification by faith. Those of us who believe in Christ are right with God because of what Jesus did at the cross. The Lord's forgiveness makes us innocent of all crimes. And as I told you earlier, sin is a crime. We are acquitted of all wrongdoing. He paid the penalty for our sins so that we would not have to. And because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, we have a person in our lives who can be trusted, who can always be counted on, who has never let anyone down, who would never let anyone down, who keeps his promises, who has our back, top, side, bottom, front, who is always there for us. His name is Jesus. His resurrection from the dead proves his deity and proves his unconditional love for us. Yeah, we want to be accepted by God. We also want the truth. Jesus is the truth, and he said so of himself in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to the doubting apostle Thomas, "I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the gospel message and the word of God, and I am the resurrection life, eternal life, and no one comes to God the Father in heaven but through believing in me." There is absolute truth. You've heard it said, it's all relative. That means that the truth can be changed based on perception or context or comparison. It suggests that there is nothing that is absolute. And that is absolute. It's an absolute lie. We want lives that count for something. We want to make a difference. And as you evaluate your life, ask yourself a question. What difference does it make that you're on the planet? I don't believe you heard me. So let me ask you again, what difference does it make that you're on the planet? You have to answer that. The Lord says you make a difference with his resurrection. You mean everything to him. We have no need for regrets when we close our eyes in this life. Henry David Thoreau said it well. This is one of my favorite things and something that I live my life by. He said, "I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to live deep, and to suck all the marrow out of life, and to put to rout all that was not life, so that when I had come to die, I might not discover that I had not lived." That's the life God wants us to live, a life without regret. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, believers in Christ, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain when your toil is in the Lord. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, right where you sit, right this moment, you have a choice. You can remain a spiritually dead citizen of the world, or you can choose to be a spiritually alive citizen of heaven. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved by God, you and everyone in your household who also believes. John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life right at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. In John chapter 6, verse 37, the Lord says, the ones who come to me to believe in me, I will certainly not cast out into the outer darkness, the lake of fire. It is my sincere hope that you will take advantage of the gift of resurrection, which the Lord intended specifically for you by name. Join him in heaven when you close your eyes in this life. And always remember the significance of this annual celebration, because it was tailor-made for you. Well, let's close with some music. Chris Tomlin says it well, resurrection has power.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now
Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to take on your wrath towards sin on our behalf. Thank you for the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit, who makes clear in our souls the things we can't see that you would have us believe. And thank you for forgiving us in ways that we don't forgive others. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. And thank you for providing a way for us to know your thoughts through the study of the Word of God. As we go back into the world, protect us from our enemies. Remind us to pray for them. And let your light shine in us for them to see, so they will wonder about the hope that is in us. Help us to share your good news with everyone we meet, one person at a time. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me.
Amen.
Amen. Make it a habit to listen to the announcements. They're posted separately. Keep current on the things going on and coming up in Barah Ministries. Discussing the lesson in prayer circle will resume next week. Enjoy your Resurrection Sunday. Got biblical questions, ask the pastor. Pastor at BarahMinistries.com. Want us to pray for someone? Send your request to pastor at BarahMinistries.com. Keep on studying the Word of God daily. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening. No, no, really. Come on.